Hi there. We really hope you enjoy this teaching from The Message. To find out more about all the exciting things we're doing and how you can get involved, check out our website, message.org.uk.
So, I mentioned, I think, at prayer day, I love it when I kind of get stuck in a passage and just keep going back to it, digging in. And part of the reason I'm stuck in Mark chapter 1 at the moment is, I guess it's Matt Britton and Proximity's fault, because at church, we're all working our way through this little book, simple, precious book, where we watch a video of Matt reading, he's memorized the whole of Mark, which is no small feat, and acts it out beautifully. And so each day we watch a little bit of Mark, and then we ask ourselves some questions and pray. It's a fabulous way to start the day with your wife next year in bed. Just watch Matt Britton in bed with us. A horrible thought. And then we ask the questions and pray together. So do it. So get hold of one of these if you haven't got one, and just try it and see if it doesn't change your life, because the Bible's real and living. And it's great that thousands and thousands of people have had to do a big reprint of this resource that we've got getting out to churches, particularly estates churches that we're trying to help with Proximity. So that's good. I love Mark's gospel. I remember Eric Delve, who was this legendary, he's an old fella now, but a legendary evangelist when I was young, and really Michelle fully came through to Christ here in Eric Delve preached, so I've got a lot to thank that man for. But I remember him saying that, you know, the Bible is all food. It's all good for you, and you need a balanced diet. You know, you do need Old Testament, New Testament. You need to read the full counsel of Scripture, but some of the Bible's a bit more like sprouts and cabbages, and, you know, like perhaps not your favourite thing. Other bits are a bit more champagne and strawberries or whatever it is, chocolate, whatever you really enjoy. And I think Mark is probably the ultimate champagne and strawberries and chocolate book. It's like so exciting, so dynamic, so fast-moving. As you read it, it's just full of immediately, 40 times in the Gospel of Mark, he says immediately, stuff happens quickly. Mark doesn't even faff around with Jesus' birth and early life. He just goes straight in to his ministry, and it is full on. Mark tells this stuff from a first-hand perspective, and it's an amazing picture of Jesus. A man probably, if you look at the Gospel of Mark, who would be described four ways: a man of action, a man of compassion, a man of power, and a man of authority. And I wonder if you think about the Message Trust, or even think about you, how would people describe you? I think they might talk about the message. I hope they would, as an action-packed ministry. We're always up to something. We've got lots of new ideas. We are on it. You know, we're action people, aren't we? Action-oriented people. And probably, I hope they would say, we're people of compassion, and that's a beautiful thing. But would they say we're people of power, people of authority, delegated authority from Jesus? And Mark chapter 1 particularly is the chapter that makes it clear that Jesus was a man of authority. Jesus' authority was so different from the kind of authority that scares us a bit. There is a culture, isn't there, of toxic authority and misuse and abuse of authority. And sadly, not just in politics or police or whatever, but in the church and in ministries, we see it, don't we? We see abusive leadership and toxic authority. Well, that is so different from the upside down Jesus type of authority, where he came as a servant. But he thinks still in this spirit of servanthood and simplicity in some ways. Jesus just oozed authority. Let me read a few verses from Mark chapter 1. They went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, Jesus went into the synagogue and began to teach. They were amazed at his teaching, as it had authority, not as their teachers of the law. Then a man in their synagogue who was possessed by an impure spirit cried out, "What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." "Be quiet," Jesus said sternly. "Come out of him." And the impure spirit shook the man violently and came out of him with a shriek. The people are all so amazed at this. They asked each other, "What is this? A new teaching and with authority. He even gives orders to impure spirits and they obey him." News about him spread quickly over the whole region of Galilee. As soon as they left the synagogue, they went to James and John, with James and John to the home of Simon and Andrew. Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and he immediately told Jesus about her. So he went to her, took her hand and helped her up. The fever left her, and she began to wait on them. That evening after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door, and Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons, but he would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was. I mean, we should read that, shouldn't we, and go, wow. Wow. How much would you give to have been there? To have seen a man moving in the full authority of the living God. Imagine it if it was happening here in Withenshaw, that news spread that people are getting healed left, right and centre. Imagine people queuing up outside the grocery with motor neurone disease and stage 4 cancer and desperate mental illness. Imagine a pile of wheelchairs outside the front door. Imagine how the news would spread. And if you'd like to see that, if you'd like to experience that, I mean, how much would you give to have been there? But really the question shouldn't be, oh, I'd love to be there. Oh, I would have loved to have been there. Wouldn't it be great to have been there? The thing is, could we expect, should we even expect to see something like that in our day? Well, the answer is yes. If we go out with Jesus' message in Jesus' way, we should fully expect to see a move of God by his Spirit. We don't exactly know what that'll look like. We know it'll be full of authority and full of power. In Mark chapter 1, verse 15, he told us the message that all this crazy stuff was built on. He said, the time has come. Well, he was this massive man of destiny, wasn't he, Jesus? He was a man of perfect timing. And for hundreds of years, it's been like silence across Israel. The prophets have prophesied. They've set the scene for the Messiah to come, the Savior to come. And then 300 years of nothing from the end of Malachi, silence. And then immediately, suddenly, it goes crazy. A crazy move of God. Because God's on the scene. God's arrived. God's left heaven and come to earth. The time has come, he said. The kingdom of God has come near. With Jesus, the kingdom of God, the age to come breaks in. What it look like if we started seeing more of that? We see little tastes of it, don't we? What if we saw more of the heaven to come breaking in? As we're told to pray in the Lord's Prayer, God, give us a taste of what heaven's rule and reign looks like more and more. The time has come. The kingdom of God has come near. So repent and believe the good news. Do you think we sell people short sometimes as evangelists? By not truly challenging them to repent, to turn round, to get off the throne, to make him Lord, to turn away from any sin and rebellion in your life and make him God. Not just add Jesus, but truly whatever you want to do, I surrender all to him. Believing the good news. If we could see a people who were so in tune with God that they knew what God's timing was, the moving with his Spirit, a people who were ushering in the new kingdom, and a people who were bringing a message in the power of the Spirit of repent and believe, honestly, we're going to see power and authority on frail, ordinary people like me and you that we will not believe. So, Jesus, from this point, and you can read it in Mark's Gospel, and I hope you will, chunk by chunk with Matt Britton every day. He basically modelled it, didn't he? From this point, he modelled it just what it looks like. So here it is, all this healing, all this preaching, all this demonstration of the kingdom of God for 3.5 years. And then he said to his disciples, as the Father sent me, I'm sending you. He said to you and me, as the Father sent me, I'm sending you. And he breathed on the disciples. And if you turn back a page to Matthew 28 in your Bible, we find the last words Jesus said to me and you. He said, all authority has been given to me. Now, Jesus has all authority. You only took your last breath because Jesus said so. You will go to heaven when it's time, when Jesus says so. This world will come to an end. He is ruling and reigning. He has unbelievable authority. All authority is mine. And he says, therefore, go. There's a moment of delegated authority in the Great Commission. It's not the great suggestion. It's the great commission to go. Go in power. Go in authority. Go in my power and my authority. Yes, do it my way as servants. Sweet-spirited, not bossing people around, not lording people over, not pretending you're the man of power for the hour. You've only got this authority and power because I gave it to you. But there should be an expectation that as we go in his name, remarkable things will happen. Remarkable things will happen in four areas. We start to move in the authority and power that only he could give. And if we do, people will be amazed. I'd love to think people might be amazed by the work of the message sometimes. I hope so today. I hope people are amazed that some ordinary people would want to be downwardly mobile, would not want to just climb up the greasy pole of success, but actually would choose to live in the most deprived neighbourhoods. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? I'd love to think that today prisoners might be amazed by the grace that's shown them through our workers and the non-judgmental approach. People who go into prison and say, actually, if I've been through what you've been through, there's every chance I'd be where you are. That beautiful, sweet, I'm amazed by that. They're not treating me like I'm scum of the earth. They're treating me like I'm a prince or a princess. And it should be amazing, people. I'd love people to be amazed by our generosity through the community groceries and all the different ways we serve and give to the community and get out there and try and, you know, give people a leg up. I hope more and more people will be amazed by that. Most of all, I hope people will be amazed by Jesus-only stories. I was in the canteen in the prayer meeting before our church. I just had a beautiful moment looking around and stood next to me was this sweet guy who was a former dangerous, violent criminal. You couldn't believe his testimony if you knew him today. And next to him was a guy who's just come out of prison, worked with our prison team. Next to him was a rampant alcoholic who hasn't touched alcohol for over 12 months now and is living a beautiful life and just gone away on holiday with the kids for the first time for ages, and the kids are Christians and God's sweeping through a family. Next to her was a guy who's every chance he'll go to prison this week. Next to him was his partner who had recently tried to commit suicide, deep broken, challenges of mental health. But it's like this, I'm feeling like, I've got a feeling this might have been how Jesus ministered. Just these broken people with all sorts of chaos, but they are so not what they were. They are so not. Look at the beauty, and I'm just wallowing in it. And next to me was somebody who doesn't come from that super, whatever, vulnerable, deprived background, hadn't had loads of chaos, but her husband had died in the most tragic way, most terrible way. In the teeth of COVID, and she couldn't even be with him when he died, and yet she's come out of it stronger. And I'm literally looking around this room thinking, Jesus, you're amazing. You're amazing. This is amazing. I'm amazed by what you're doing. I want to be more amazed by what you're doing. I want more stories just to be amazed at the goodness of God. And we've got them next level. Let's rejoice in them. And let's not just expect other people to be amazed. Let's be amazed ourselves at what God's doing. And as we do, as we get this right, as we preach the right gospel, a gospel of the kingdom of God has come near, repent and believe the good news, we're moving in God's timing. Let's fully expect to move in authority, delegated authority, Jesus authority in four areas. Let's expect a fresh measure of authority to teach like he did. I just would have, you know, you'd give anything, wouldn't you, to just heard Jesus preach. Just connected with ordinary people. He'd had this boring old dose of religion, judgmental, rules-based rubbish that just crushed the soul. And then his life and his grace and his joy and his power, and it just digs in. And you will have experienced that sometime in your Christian life. You'd have been there and you've heard somebody preaching in Jesus' name, and it's just like, oh, more and more and more, let that be the case in schools, in prisons, in communities. People who preach with authority. Instead of boring, they're saying, this is amazing. God, give us authority to teach the word the way you did. And I thought we might have a little breather now because I want to show you my favorite program when I was 5 years old. And I said to Olivia, could you find the trailer for Stingray, Olivia? Olivia said, What's stingray? You see, Ben Jack is just about old enough to know what stingray is. Les Hutchinson, it was your favourite programme with me, wasn't it, in the 60s? So I want to show you this trailer, right, because there is a relevant, slightly crowbarred in analogy towards this. So ladies and gentlemen, the first programme, I believe, showed in video colour in the UK was Stingray. Talk about special effects. Watch this for an AI masterpiece.
Stand by for action. We are about to launch Stingray.
Yes, I can't wait to get Mabel into Stingray. But why I say that is because written over those doors, every time somebody preaches in this place or every school, every community, should be two things. Stand by for action. There should be a sense as we leave, heard the gospel preached, we're ready for action. And written on the other side should be, anything could happen in the next half an hour. I mean, how many people leave church like that? But that's how we should leave church. Anything could happen because Jesus is around. I've heard the word preached with authority. He's built my faith muscle, my expectation. So I leave this place. Anything could happen in the next half an hour. I could meet someone whose life is completely turned around. I could pray for the sick and Jesus breaks in. Anything could happen in the next half hour. God give us Bible teachers who teach with authority. Let's not go into schools with little sermonettes. Let's be rooted in the scriptures and preach it with the power and the authority of Jesus and just watch what happens. So authority to teach like he did, but also authority over the powers of darkness. Possible to get away from the fact that when Jesus was around, he confronted the powers of darkness time and time again. Demonized people flocked to him. They knew who he was, and he could cast out demons with a word. I just love that. Be quiet. Satan, just be quiet. And Satan has to flee, and he's silenced. He has power over nature, has power over the darkness, and so do we in his name. We occasionally get a glimpse of it, don't we, more. And I know you've heard me say this, but I think it's worth repeating because it's amazing when I think about it. What happened in the canteen just about 6 weeks ago, I'm talking to this deeply broken woman who's had an amazing conversion experience. And she said to me that in her flat that week, she'd seen the devil. And I said, oh, what do you mean, love? Well, he came into my flat and he was a horrible, dark, black face. And he was stood at the end of my bed. I said, wow, you don't hear that every day. Well, what did you do? She said, I told him to go in the name of Jesus. And I said, oh, what happened? He shot through the wall, she said. And I'm like, wow, I've never heard that in 50 years of being a Christian. The amazing thing that I still can't get over, exactly the same time I'm having this conversation with this formerly deeply broken woman, there's another woman there with one of the most shocking testimonies you'll ever hear, who's fully come to Christ, said exactly the same thing to Beth, my daughter. in the same coffee session after church. I've never had that conversation. Beth never had that conversation. Same conversation, black face, end of my bed. What did you do? I told him to go in the name of Jesus and he fled. I'm like, why would you do that, God? I'll tell you why God was doing that, I believe, why God allowed me and Beth to experience that. Because he was saying two things. One, you're rattling Satan's cage. Once we see these amazing testimonies and we see power and authority in Jesus' name over sin and darkness, you're rattling Satan's cage. He does not like it. And guess what? He has to flee in the name of Jesus. There is power and authority in the name of Jesus. Do we believe it? Satan has to flee in the name of Jesus. But we need to exert our power. We need to spend that time in prayer. We need to press into him. We need to boldly preach the gospel. We need to demonstrate it, presence it. But as we do pray, as we presence, as we preach, Satan has to flee. Because we've got the authority of Jesus. The third authority we'll see is undeniably, it's undoubted from the scriptures. You can't get away from it. And I know we're not seeing it in the measure we want is authority over sickness. Read your Bible. See what Jesus is not just meant to be. You know, we are not a cessationist movement. We believe in the power of the Spirit. We believe in the power of God to heal. In fact, we're commanded to go and lay our hands on people and pray in Jesus' name. And I'm not seeing the measure of healings I want to. I am seeing some only Jesus healings, definitely. But there's a blind lady started to come to our church, and lovely lady, and tragic story. She went blind in her 20s, and has got a little girl, and she started to come to our church, and seen her the last couple of weeks, and I'm like, do I honestly believe that she could come into this church blind and leave with her eyes seeing? Do I believe it? And I was chatting again to Beth, and Beth said, well, Heidi Baker's seen it plenty of times. And I'm like, I don't want a Heidi Baker, but I do want a Heidi Baker to see it. I want Andy Hawthorne to see it, don't you? I want Ben Jack to see it, don't you? And I'm kind of like, are you like this? I believe God, help my unbelief. I do believe Colette could see and have her eyes opened. But I'm so fearful to be praying for her because I don't want to disappoint her. And all that stuff's going on in my heart. I pray faith can grow towards the miraculous signs that point to Jesus. Miracles where God does what only he can do. Don't you want more of that? What's going on? We're going to have to step out in faith more. You see, the thing about gospel preaching is we preach the gospel, and the more we preach it in faith and more we bring an invitation, guess what? More people get saved. And we don't go, oh, this morning in church, only 10 people got saved. And there's 20 there who didn't get saved. We go, 10 people got saved, didn't we? We go, 10 people got saved. It's amazing. We've seen the greatest miracle of all. We don't look at what God's not doing. We look at what he's doing. And somehow we need to do that with the miraculous, with signs and wonders, and especially signs of healing. Help us, God, to step out. The more we pray for the sick, graciously, with great compassion and sensitivity, the more we're going to see the sick healed. Did I ever tell you about this girl I prayed for at the end? She gave her life to Christ in Marple. And I'm telling you this to hopefully build your faith and build my faith as I share this story. I prayed for this girl, and she gave her life to Christ at All Saints Church in Marple. And at the end of the service, she came up, and she gave her life to Jesus. Wonderful prayer, gave her the stuff. And I said, is there anything else you can pray for? She said, yeah. I have these terrible epileptic fits several times a day, and I go to a special school. And I'm like, eh. And I said, oh, I am going to pray for you. And all I can say to you is, I believe God's going to step in. You've given your life to Christ. You've got a fresh start. You've had the biggest miracle. And I'm going to pray. And one of three things is going to happen. Either you're never going to have another fit. God's just going to like heal you like that. Secondly, you get less and less. I've seen that happen, you know, more and more, God. Or third, God's going to give you extra power to cope with this, strength to go through it. It was literally all the faith I had. I just didn't have the man of power for the hour. Be healed in Jesus' name. That's all I could say to this girl called Michelle. And so I prayed for her, went away. I'm like, you know that thing, my heart was left in All Saints Marple. Oh, God. Anyway, a few months later, we went back to the school in Marple. And this girl came up to me, except she looked completely different. because she had a bit of a haunted look on her face. You know what I mean by that? People who really go into just that look. She didn't have that haunted look anymore. She looked different. And we're having a conversation. She's telling me about how she's joined the youth group and she's reading the Bible every day, and all this great stuff. And I'm like, yeah, yeah. And I'm like, and after a while, I couldn't stand it any longer. I said, Michelle, how about the fits? How about the epileptic fits? Oh, no. Praise God, I've not had a single fit since. Oh, come on, Lord. And even though I was so like, I believe, help my unbelief. And God broke in and God can do it. Do it more, Lord. Are people who move in your authority. But always signs to point to Jesus. Always a platform to preach the gospel. Because what is the point of seeing loads of people healed if their healthy bodies go to hell? The final authority, the big one, of course, is authority over sin. We don't have authority over sin. We have the authority to announce and pronounce the forgiveness of sins in Jesus' name. And he has delegated that authority to us. What a thing. What a thing. I can say to an ordinary man or woman, the greatest miracle of all can happen in your life, and it can happen today. If you will repent, believe this good news, and I explain the good news clearly and faithfully, I can fully announce and pronounce the forgiveness of sins in Jesus' name if they repent and give their life to him. What a thing. And you know what happened? The next story in Mark's gospel, of course, at the start of Mark chapter 2, is the friends of this paralyzed man who break through the ceiling. Again, wouldn't you love to have been there? What are you doing to my friend's house? Jesus didn't say that. He just saw the heart. I wonder if he paid the bill to have the roof fixed. You ever thought about that? Perhaps he had to go to Little Fish and get some coins to pay for the builders to come. But anyway, they lowered the man down, and there's the man fully in need of healing. He's paralyzed and he's a beggar. He's on his mat. And Jesus said, son, your sins are forgiven. Because the man's biggest need was forgiveness of sins. And of course, that's what caused all sorts of problems with the Pharisees, because that's who Jesus is. He's the only one who forgives sins. But we can announce his forgiveness of sins with full authority because he's delegated that to us. And this amazing little verse, isn't it? I think. There in Mark chapter 1, 35. On the back of all this remarkable, amazing, spectacular healings, breakout, a noisy revival. Nothing quiet about this one. It's all happening. It's all kicking off. It says, very early in the morning, after all this, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up out of the house and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. And Simon and his companions went to look for him. When they found him, they said, everyone is looking for you, Jesus. Jesus replied, let's go somewhere else then. If I'm like, the wheelchairs are piled up outside the grocery. The story is spread all across Withenshaw. All of Withenshaw is flocking to the door. There's 10,000 people saying, we're ready. What do? We book Old Trafford for the healing crusade. Jesus said, let's go somewhere else. Because, why? Because I want to preach there, because that's why I came primarily. Jesus is a preacher. People need to hear the words of eternal life. So what do we do? What do we do at a time like this when things are stirring up? The church is starting to rise again, I believe, in power and authority. Let it be, Lord. You know, we all got excited. Well, a lot of us got excited about this, didn't we? You will have seen this all over the internet, and we should get excited. On the back of this news of the quiet revival, it's not just, you know, tucked away in the Bible Society press release. It's now front page of a secular newspaper. Read on, it says double, not like 5% growth, double, 2 million more people go to church, mainly young adults, mainly Gen Z. Is that exciting? We couldn't do that. No mission's going to do that. You're not going to get that from Mission England or Festival Manchester. That's a work of the Spirit in people's hearts, don't you think? You know what? And in here, it says this. I love all this stuff. It says this. YouGov report revealed 2 million more attendees packed pews last year compared with 2018, with those aged 16 to 24 classed as Gen Ed quadrupling from 4 to 16%. Meanwhile, Bible sales in the UK have almost doubled in 5 years. Come on, only God can do that. And it's young adults. It's the people who everyone says should be leaving the church. And it's the Bible, this archaic book. Why are people reach out to that? Because it's a work of the Spirit if you've got eyes to see. While I was on holiday, I read this book. Read it. It's beautiful. Bear Grylls, the number one bestseller was I was on holiday in the Sunday Times bestseller list is Bear Grylls, the greatest story ever told. It's just full on gospel. And he finishes it by saying, may the light and love of the Almighty fill your life with truth and strength and peace. Nothing can ever steal God's presence from you. I mean, this is like full on evangelistic stuff. And he says, please join us in praying that this book will bring many millions to know for themselves the truth that can set them free. Come on, Bear, he's going for it. This is brave and bold stuff. He is full on. It's a full on beautiful gospel book. And it's been the bestseller, number one Times bestseller. Now, Bear Grylls has written over 90 books. He's only had two that have got to be the number one Sunday Times bestseller. His autobiography and this book. Why are people hungry for this stuff? It's a work of the Spirit if you've got eyes to see. So what do we do at a time like this? Well, what we do primarily is two things. We pray more. Jesus got up early while it was still dark. I hope it stirs you to pray. We need to steward this thing well. We need to be in working with your timing. We need to know how to move in the power and the authority that you've delegated to us. We pray more, but we also preach more. We must be people who faithfully preach more at a time like this, because there's no point if all this hunger's going on, all this desire, if nobody's telling them. They're like asking all the big questions. Well, let's tell them. People are hungry. Let's stand together. Yes, Lord, I pray that we can be a people who pray more at a time like this. Convict us about that even today. Opportunities to go to the prayer house and pray and cry out to you. But also faithfully preach more. And as we do, Lord, would you demonstrate your authority? Oh God, help us to preach with authority and compassion. Help us to see the powers of darkness push back. Thank you that your name is powerful and stronger. God, help us to see a breakthrough in healings. You know the people we're crying out for, Lord. The situations where we long to see you do what only you can do. And Lord, we ask that we will faithfully announce and pronounce the forgiveness of sins in multiple areas, one-on-one, big gatherings, and that thousands will receive the greatest miracle of all. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Don't forget to check out message.org.uk to find out how you can support our work or even get involved with one of our teams. Thanks for listening.